Service setting four, page 203. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are here. Since we are gathered to hear God's Word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit appointed for the day. us pray. Merciful God, Your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross that He might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to Himself. Grant that we, who glory in His death for our redemption, may faithfully heed His call to bear the cross and follow Him, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Holy Cross Day is from Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, says the Lord. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I love the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Hymn 427, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." 427.
And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon, this festival of the Holy Cross, comes from the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, dear friends, in Christ. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Simple request, really, and quite understandable. Those Greeks are in town for the Passover. They have just heard of the great events that shook that great city, Palm Sunday. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. They want to see this great man of God. They want to hear him speak. They want, perhaps, to ask him some questions. They've heard so much about him, and now they want to see him for themselves. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, the disciples have certainly fielded requests like this before. Throughout his 3-year ministry, certainly many people have been brought to see Jesus. But this time, something is different. This request comes not from Jews, not even from Samaritans, that usual crowd of people hanging around Jesus, the occupants of first century Palestine, that speck of land in the corner of the world. These are Greeks. And at this moment, on Palm Sunday, they stand in for the entire world. They represent the nations lining up to see Jesus, peoples and tribes and languages spanning the globe, all with this simple request. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. The time has come for Jesus to show himself to the world. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The request of these Greeks, as simple and as routine as it may sound, is a signal that Jesus has been waiting for. The hour has come. It is time for Jesus to be revealed, to be glorified before the entire world. It is time for a local mission to become universal. It is time for the message of Christ to go forth to every corner of this planet. It is time for all to see His glory. And the world will be looking for it. We will look for the glory of Christ in more and greater miracles, delivering us from the suffering of disease, disaster, depression. We will look for the glory of Jesus in more profound and practical teachings, delivering us from the suffering of broken relationships and bad business deals. We'll look for the glory of Jesus in working the levers of government, delivering us from the suffering of poor or oppressive rulers. We will look for the glory of Jesus in fancy church buildings, in full pews and full offering plates, delivering us from the suffering of persecution and opposition. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. We wish to see His glory, the glory that will glorify us in the sight of others, the glory that is an escape from all the suffering that this world can dish out. But the glorification that Jesus has in mind has nothing to do with escaping suffering. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The Greeks wish to see Jesus. The whole world is waiting for the revelation of His glory, and He's ready to give it to them. But in a way that no one expects. by dying. He will bear much fruit. He will bring forth a harvest that the world has never seen. Grain from every corner of this planet. But only by following that seed into the ground. Only by dying. One of God's greatest miracles in all of creation is that a dead, dry, and withered seed can sit on your shelf for months, maybe even years. And then you put it in the ground. And when it finds soil, when it finds water, it comes alive and bears a harvest. Jesus will follow the pattern of that seed. He will be put into the ground dead, but will emerge alive, bearing much fruit. Only by dying will we see Jesus' glory. Only by suffering will Jesus be exalted. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus is the one who saves his life only by losing it. He is the one who loves the world by hating his life in it. He doesn't escape from suffering. He gives himself into it. And he calls on the world to follow his example. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Where is Jesus? On the cross. And there his servants will follow him. We will follow Jesus to glory, certainly, but only after suffering. Only after the cross. It is at this point that many who wanted to see Jesus turn away. The cost is too high, the horror too great to witness. Jesus, too, is tempted to escape from suffering. As the hour draws near, he wrestles with his Father's will. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Jesus sees what lies ahead of him. The horror of the cross. The humiliation, the pain, the suffering that will be inflicted by a sinful world. And we want a Jesus that has no cross. A Jesus that makes us feel better. That gives us glory right now. That delivers us from suffering right now. Not one who leads us into suffering and the cross. But the only path to glory, the only path to true, complete, and eternal deliverance from suffering is through suffering and death. It is through the cross. For this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Asking for glory is asking for the cross. The two are inseparable. They're tied together. They are one and the same. Christ's glory is Christ's suffering. Christ's exaltation is Christ's cross. Jesus, his soul was troubled, but now it's resolute. He will go to the cross. He will fulfill the Father's will. Jesus will save his life by losing it. He will hate his life in this world by giving it up into death for you and for me. He will not ask for salvation from this hour, but glory. The glory of the cross. And his Father will answer. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. You know, the cross doesn't look very glorious, though we dress it up like it is. Every cross should be a crucifix. Every cross should bear the body of Jesus, or else we are tempted to make it too pretty, to give the cross some sort of magnificence that is of its own. Dear friends, the cross has no glory in itself. By itself, the cross is an instrument of torture designed to give a cruel and agonizing death. Our attempts to dress it up, to plate it with gold, to hang it from a wrapper's neck or tattoo it to the small of our back, they're all futile. The cross has glory only because it bears the body of Jesus. The glory of the cross comes from what hung upon it, what was done there, what Jesus accomplished by hanging on its horrific beams. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. The cross only has glory because Jesus hung there, exalted and lifted up high, bearing the sin of the world. The cross only has glory because it is spattered with the blood of Jesus, because there the sacrifice for the sin of the world was slaughtered. The cross only has glory because upon the cross the serpent's head is crushed. There the ruler of this world is cast down from his throne. The cross is a standard of victory we heard about in our gradual. Because it is in the death of Jesus that we see Jesus for who he truly is, the Savior from sin and death, the one who leads us through suffering and death, his and ours, to a new creation, where suffering, where death will be no more. Glory comes through suffering. That is the message of the cross. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. You know, it really isn't all that important, to us at least, whether those Greeks actually got around to seeing Jesus that day or not. What is important is that their request was answered on Good Friday. There the world sees Jesus as he wishes to be seen, in his glory as the Savior of the world. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. That is the question that this world is asking the church, whether it gets it, whether it understands it or not. And we must give answer. We must show this world Jesus. Jesus on the cross. Jesus lifted high above this earth. For we have the promise that when Jesus is thus exalted, he will draw all people to himself. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. That is the question that you must ask every time you come to this place, and you must hold your pastors accountable to show you Jesus as he wishes to be seen, suspended between earth and heaven, exalted in glory upon the cross, drawing all people to himself. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. The people of Israel, facing the just punishment for their sin, were told to look upon the embodiment of their sin high upon a pole. They looked and they lived. As we languish in our sin, suffering in a sinful world, facing the consequences of sin's penalties, we are called to look upon the embodiment of our sin hanging upon a cross. We look in faith and we live. Jesus' glorification begins when they lift up his body on the cross, suspending him between earth and heaven, exalted for you, glorified for you, so that one day He will draw you out of your graves and to Himself forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy upon us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, his work on the cross by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Bless all mission activity in the church, and especially Dr. Allman in Germany. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death. In the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands, we commend all who are sick and suffering, and all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, especially the family of Jeff Ficken, as he mourns the loss of his father, the family of Denise Henning, and all those that are mourning this day. Heavenly Father, bless all who are in need, as we pray for them at all times. Thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. And help us to trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome to God's house. We pray God's blessings on our time here. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this evening. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Christ's once and for all work on the cross would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Continuing out the service of the sacrament, page 208 and following. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent Him to offer His life on the cross as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink His body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in His name, and as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
body of Christ. The body of Christ is in the true blood of our Lord, the body of Jesus Christ, shed for you, remission of all sins.
Thank you.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Continue with the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. We stand. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 422. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was glorified and demonstrated His great love for us on Calvary's cross. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Just a couple of quick announcements. First, it is a great honor and a great privilege. We are very, very blessed here at Good Shepherd. Tomorrow at our NLCS, Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study gathering, we have one of our Synod's leading theologians, and he's just a great parish pastor, Pastor Mark Serberg, and he is with us tonight. Vicar, I sent him to the airport, and they got here just when the service started. So, Mark, it is a great honor to have you with us. And I look forward to your presentation tomorrow. Everybody's invited. I know a lot of people work, but everybody's invited. We'll have coffee and goodies at about 9:30, matins at 10, and then Pastor will have presentations from 10:30 to noon. We'll break for lunch, and then 1 to 2:30 as well. And if you can't be here tomorrow, you can check him out online, Serberg's blog. It's one of the best things in Lutheranism on the World Wide Web. So check that out. And Mark, great to have you here. We just happened to be classmates at the seminary, too, by the way. Looking forward to catching up in that respect. No Lifelight tomorrow because of NLCS, and then a week from tomorrow we'll pick up with a new Lifelight study with the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark. You see lots of tables and lots of stuff out there. Check it out. We've got our church picnic coming up out at McKinney's place. They're gracious enough to open their place. So check that out. That's coming. Is that this week?
This Sunday.
Okay. You can celebrate a saint's victory by coming out to the church pick. Well, I don't know. Or wallow in defeat as well. And you see out there also the LWML gathering spot. There's so much stuff there. You're tripping over it. Bring more. They have an in-gathering of blankets and non-perishable goods. Check that out. And if you haven't been listening to the radio station, please do. 95.7. And it is just absolutely wonderful, the things that have been on there. Had a chance twice this week to listen to former vicar Christian Preuss's dad, Rolf Preuss, preach on our radio station. And what a great joy and a great pleasure that was. Pastor, anything else? Okay. Youth group paintball on Saturday. So you can go to that and then watch the big Husker victory over Oregon later in the afternoon there too. Pastor Serberg is a great Husker football fan too. There you go. We should go out for duck supper tonight or tomorrow night. That would be great. We got adult Bible study in the fellowship hall, choir up in the balcony, and we are studying the CTCR document on racism. CTCR document on racism. Got started last week, and it will prove to be a great study. So, I think that's what he wanted me to, I didn't forget you, Vicar. Even though you're very forgettable. All right, I think that's enough. Have a great day and week in the glory of Christ's cross.